Yes.
Did Rabbi Naro shine very personally?
Ah, what a loss. Rav Scheinberg, as you may have known, is a Talmud of our yeshiva. Anybody know that? He learned in our yeshiva many, many years ago. I believe it was 102, if I'm not mistaken. A little arithmetic. 102, because he was born in 1910. The yeshiva moved uptown from the Lower East Side. He went to the yeshiva Lower East Side. And I think when the yeshiva moved uptown, could be he came uptown. I'm not sure, I can't say whether he actually walked those halls in that building, as I can say for sure. His brother, Zechariah Lebrach, was a Rebbe here for many years. He, believe it or not, got married in this country. He married the daughter of man named Yaakov Yosef Herman. You may have read his biography called All for the Boss. Who read All for the Boss? And my house was in tatters. It was read so many times, over and over again, by his daughter, his youngest daughter, Rabbi Ruchama Shane. This Rabbi Herman had, I think, if I'm not mistaken, four daughters and a son. And if I'm not mistaken, he was a boxer. Did you read that in the book? No? I guess I have it wrong. I read the book a long, long time ago. He would fight with people about different things. I don't know, maybe I'm just hallucinating. But what I knew he did, this I'm quite sure, he would fight in the Lower East Side in his day, in the Young Israel, the Lower East Side, which was the place where many, many couples met, including my parents, met in the Lower East Side, and the Young Israel, so I'm not going to say anything about the Young Israel in Manhattan, that's bad, but I will say that they had mixed dancing. That's written in the book. I'm not giving away any secrets. In the stand that 100 years ago, well, it was 100 years ago, let's say, even a little bit after that, the battles that were being fought were battles of Shabbos and Kashrus. Those are the two major battles the Young Israel movement was fighting and keeping the youth engaged. It should be Shomer Shabbos, keep Kashrus. There were so many were becoming disaffected. They didn't like the shtibul was commercialized, the shtibul was old school, they wanted an American experience. I think the Young Israel is now celebrating its 100th birthday, am I correct? I read something about some centennial. Anybody read about that? I guess I'm forgetting everything, or maybe I'm just imagining things. Oh, I didn't even see this on the board. Picture. Oh. It says over here. Who put this on my... Is this behind me?
No.
Well, if I press this, maybe it'll be behind me. It's from Wikipedia. It's not true. It's only 101. It was born September 9th. You have it on the board now? No? It's on my screen. It shouldn't be on your board?
Yeah, it was past the
100. It says he was born. He was Polish born. I didn't know that. But he's from the American race, that's for sure. Torah R. Derech Chaim, okay. Matisdorf. He was born in Poland. As his father was fired from his job because he refused to work on Shabbos. Can you imagine that? He slept on New York's East Side Drive with a pillow, a blanket, and an umbrella. Can you imagine? It's just pillow lawyer. And the mother moved with her parents and milked cows at dawn for Polish farmers. It's a pitiful employment. Okay, so then he brought his wife and children to America. And he moved to a Lower East Side. He went to, he had other siblings. He went to public school. What's going on? Then he went to RJJ, my alma mater as well, till 14. Oh! Rabbi Yaakov Yosef Herman, who influenced the promising young Jewish men in New York City to advance in their Torah learning, encouraged him to transfer to Rabbi Yehuda Levenberg's Beis Medrash to Rabbanim, Yeshiva in New Haven, where no secular subjects were taught. Herman also decided that the youth would make a good husband for his third daughter, Bessie, who was then only 12. Oh, By the time Rabbi Shammai left the yeshiva at the age of 16 and a half, he was regarded as a masmid, Siman Shas, 17. He went to Yitzchak Chanan. There he learned that the rabbis Shlomo Palachik, who was a major Tehili, and Moshe Soloveitchik of Shimon Shkop. He learned with Rabbi Victor Miller of Moshe Bick, of Mordechai Gifter, of Nos Meir Vachtvogel, future leaders of American Torah Jewry. Rabbi Victor Miller, I think they're all now Zichron Levracha. They all live fairly long lives. Rabbi Victor Miller, as you may know, was the son-in-law of Rav Lessen Zatzal, who was a mashkiach of our yeshiva for many, many years. And he established a shul in Brooklyn, and he gets shirim all his, he made many, many balei tshuva. Rav Moshe Bick was a rav for many years in the Bronx, not walking distance from here. And then he actually moved to Borough Park. He was an older person when the Bronx was becoming a different neighborhood. Couldn't live there anymore. He was known as a very distinguished posek. He had a lot of hashpah on many people. Rabbi Gifter went on to become a Rosh Hashiva. He was a rabbi, I think, in Waterbury or somewhere. And he became a Rosh Hashiva, Telz Yeshiva in Cleveland. And Rabbi Vachtfeigl became the Mashkiach of Lakewood Yeshiva. So all these people, you know, our yeshiva was the only yeshiva that meant anything. So all these people learning here, and I'm not sure they all moved uptown. I'm not exactly sure when our yeshiva, when did our yeshiva move uptown anyway? This is a YU question. When did the actually, there's a big picture of the with the Sifrei Torah coming out of the Lower East Side, and that picture that day? 1927, they moved uptown?
I think that's the building center, the cornerstone.
It doesn't mean anything. It means a cornerstone. Those who know about cornerstones know, and the time they put the cornerstone until they actually move in, doesn't necessarily happen in a day. But it probably did happen in probably 1929, because otherwise the stock market crash would have stopped everything. So I guess it moved up around 1929. He was then 19. I'm not sure if he was. We'll see in a minute. We'll see in a minute. This is over here. We didn't cut. Oh, wait. Look at this. With the courage of his father-in-law and his new wife, I guess it doesn't say what year he got married. Oh, wait, it does say. When Shami was 19, Hermann suggests that they match with his 17-year-old daughter. The Shami agreed. Rav Baruch Berlibowitz, who was a guest at the Hermann home at that time, wrote at the Tanoim. At his mother's suggestion, Rav Shami studied for Smicha in the months before his wedding. He was the name of Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, Dr. Revel, and other rabbis of the yeshiva before his chuppah. Do a little arithmetic. 19 plus... That's 1929, so I guess he must have moved up here and gotten smicha from Rav Moshe Soloveitchik. Only came here, I think, in 1929, approximately after the Major Tehili passed away, and Dr. Revel, and other rabbis of the yeshiva. I'm not sure other rabbis signed the smicha. And then, first 5 years of marriage in the Miri yeshiva, lived next door to the yeshiva. Can you imagine that? No running water. Unpaved streets were always muddy. Okay. Unbelievable. Most of the student body was unmarried. And one of the few Americans, his son was there. They married Herman as his brother-in-law. Ruchama, a new husband, Moshe Shane as well. His son, the brother Shmuel, who learned, the rabbi here came also at the age of 14. And he imagined to escape one of the last ships before leaving Europe before World War II broke out. The Scheinbergs' first two daughters were born in Poland. And their third child visited the Chofetz Chaim. Can you imagine that? Get his blessing in America. It says over here that the Chofetz Chaim said, I came all the way from America to learn Torah. So Chofetz Chaim said, Moshe Rabbeinu came all the way from heaven to teach Yidden Torah. What's the big deal about coming from America to Europe? Gave him a bracha. No, Kamenetz, got smicha from Baruch Ber. 1936, they came to America. Why? Because his American citizenship would have expired after more than 5 years abroad. Do you imagine that? And I didn't know that was such a rule in the 30s. He spent more than 5 years abroad, you lose your citizenship. Meanwhile, that saved his life, because he came before the Nazis. He was a Mashkiach Ruchni El Chavetz Chaim in Queens. He was there for 25 years. Whoa! This was founded by Rav David Leibowitz, but for most of the time was run by Rav Henech. Rav David Leibowitz passed away in 1941. I know his levaya was on Pearl Harbor Day, one of his talmidim. And it was, the position was assumed by his younger son, by his elder one son, Reb Henoch, who was, I think, still single at the time. Reb Henoch was nifted about a year or two ago, no? He was a Rosh Yeshiva Chofetz Chaim for close to 70 years. Wow. So he and he was the Rosh Yeshiva, and Reb Scheinberg was the Mashkiach of the Yeshiva for many, many years. So Reb Scheinberg went out on his own, and they came together again. Who's in the five towns here? Someone from that part, neck of the woods. So Rabbi David Weinberger, who was a Rav of Share, you know what I'm talking about, he married Rabbi Scheinberg's granddaughter. I was at the wedding. That was Rabbi Alpert's daughter. And the Mishnah de Kedushin was not Rabbi Scheinberg, the grandfather, but was Rabbi Leibowitz, because he was a Rosh Hashiva. Interesting, that was an interesting wedding. At that wedding, I'll tell you what happened. I was very... saw it my own eyes. Rabbi Shimon was considered ready then, one of the Gedolei Hador, bolted into the ladies' section of the wedding to dance with his granddaughter. I saw my own eyes. He asked how I looked the other side. Don't ask questions. I saw my own eyes. And after that, when my daughter's got married, I did the same thing. My Saraf went to the ladies' section to dance with my daughter. So, yeah. So he was as he was over here, weiter, 25 years. He opened Torah Or. He was very close to his Talmidim. Came a Rav of a shul in Lower East Side. Two more daughters and a son. Then he had a son-in-law. Who was the son-in-law? Reb Chaim Dov Altusky. Reb Chaim Dov Altusky. Again, Rabbi Scheinberg opened the Torah Or in Bensonhurst in 1960 with six students. And then in 63, visited their father in Israel and they planned housing development called Matistov, Ruchama's neighbor in New York. She told her she wants to buy an apartment there. She wanted to buy an apartment there. He couldn't believe it to go to Israel, but made a pilot trip and they decided to go with over 20 students, 1965. Wow. Wow. Can you imagine that? Torah Or 1960, where Givat Shaul, Diskin Orphanage. I can tell you, when I was in Karen Biavna, he was still in the Diskin Orphanage, somewhere in. You ever been in that building? It's a huge building. It was very decrepit when I was there. This is talking now, you know, way back, 45 years ago. And then, Six-Day War broke out, and Sharma told the students to stay, and they all stayed. And he was devoted to his students, slept with them in the bomb shelter. And he built Torah Or in Matistov in 1971, and now 2011 has 800 students and 500 Kollel students. Wow. Okay. His wife passed away in October 2009, age of 96. They've been married for 81 years. Abaisa, I give you all a bracha. 81 years of marriage. You know, you better get moving, guys. I mean, if you want 81 years of marriage, she got married at age 17. I mean, he was 19, so I mean, you know. Can you imagine 80? Wow. Wowee. Okay. In his will, he named his only son, Zuximus Rashiva of Torah. His one son, Simcha, and many daughters and sons-in-law. I'll tell you an interesting personal anecdote. This Rabbi Shane, his brother-in-law, who, as we see here in this Wikipedia article, is the one who got him to move to Eretz Yisrael. So he was my Rebbe. When I was in Yeshiva Zemeni Yaakov Yosef in seventh grade, this goes back to 1959. No, take that back, 58. September 58, I come into Yeshiva Rabbi Moshe Shane. Wonderful Jew. Wonderful Jew. In the middle of the year, he was appointed to be the principal of the school, Manal. And he brought in a young Rebbe to become my Rebbe. Who is this young Rebbe? Rabbi Chaim Dov Altuski. Now, Rabbi Chaim Dov Altuski was a very, very young man at the time, and he became my Rebbe. Fine. I thought nothing of it. Decades later, I read All for the Boss, and I discovered this is a classical case of nepotism. Literally. So Rabbi Shane was a brother-in-law of Rabbi Scheinberg. Rabbi Altuski was a son-in-law of Rabbi Scheinberg. He literally put his nephew in his place when he became Menahel. That was his first hire. Okay, not bad, Rabbi Isai. So, I mean, he was the one... He's a famous Talmud Chacham, where many vows Chidushei Basra, now he's not well, he has some kind of Alzheimer's, he said. His son, I believe, is now one of the main forces in Torah, I think, Mordechai Altuski. He's another son, I think, is in Darkei Torah. He's a Choshava family. His father was from the Bronx, Rabbi Altuski Sr. Give you some of the personal reminiscences. I did meet Rabbi Shamak on many occasions personally. I can't say anything really that much to do with him. But he was well known. He was most well known as idiosyncratically as for wearing many pairs of tzitzis. I don't know if you ever saw him. He looked like a linebacker, lahavdil. I mean, the story goes, it's not written in this little article, that when one of his daughters was ill, he took upon himself, the minyan chai, to wear 18 pairs of tzitzis, which he did for many years. And I guess he felt, since every pair of tzitzis is a kiyum mitzvah, so why not? Let's go for more. Why not? Right? More kiyum mitzvah. So apparently he took it on himself at that time. And I'm told the lady wore even many more than that. I don't know exactly how the number reached. But the rabbi said, I don't recommend that you do that. First, finish shas. First, he said he finished shas. You know? When you finish shas, come back to me and we'll discuss what you should take upon yourself. But you know, people who take upon people, the hanhagos of gedolim without, it's like building with no foundation. That's ridiculous. So as an Adam Gadol would finish shas, he had the right to take on particular idiosyncratic minhagim, which the rest of the world didn't take on. But if you don't have that entry ticket, please don't do anything of the sort.
Also wore tefillin all day.
He wore tefillin all day for most of his life, right? Wore tefillin all day, which I certainly do not recommend that you do. That requires a guf noki, a guf tor. We're not in the madrega to wear tefillin all day. Just not. So. 70 pairs?
He used to wear 100.
Who told you all this? I didn't see it.
Later life.
Oh, it's right in front of me? I'm sorry. Okay, let me see. I'm sorry. Okay. He didn't waste a minute. He called the driver. He had a wedding. Popped the Mishnah Brewer on the shelf above his kitchen while he washed the dishes. Married it. Many tzitzis. Oh, 150. Oh. It's fragile health. He wore only 70. Whoa. Why do you wear them on behalf of those who do not fulfill this mitzvah? That's not the main reason. I tell you, I think the original reason was his daughter was sick. That's what I was told. But I was 18. So many more. I don't know. I'll tell you about his works here. Tabas HaKosh is on the Ktzos. You know what Mishmeres Chaim is? You know what that is? Who knows what that saber is?
Yeah.
From traveling. No, when did it? Yeah.
It's like a small question.
Yeah, you know when it came from? Mishmar. Mishmeri. He used to have a Mishmar on Thursday night, and he wanted to engage the Talmidim. So he asked them questions and asked for their answers, and they were like general topics, nothing to do with what they were learning. And he put a whole sefer out, Mishmer Eschaim, a beautiful title, of all the back and forth he would talk to his Talmidim about. Very engaging stuff. You read it, it's very engaging. Which you learned on Thursday nights. Then he had, I never saw. His most famous sefer, I believe, is the Tabas HaChoshen. But I think he also wrote something in the Avnei Meluim. If I'm not mistaken, we learned this here primarily because we were learning, you know, the Evanescence, the same author, Tzos, wrote the Avnei Meluim. That's my recollection. I can't remember. I'm blanking out right now, but it's not in the list of official writings, but I'm pretty sure that's true. In any event, Rav Bosai, a great, great, great man who did so much for Klal Yisrael, some of the muskuk of our yeshiva. So we take pride in his accomplishments more than the rest of the world. We have a certain bragging rights, even though he was never he said he left the yeshiva here when he was only 19, but Afal Pi Kein, he remained loyal to his roots. His brother was here for many years, many years as a Rebbe. And I'll tell you one private story, which you'll not find on Wikipedia. Listen to this story. I heard it from more than one reliable source. Rabbi Sharmag in his youth was a rabid Yankee fan. The Yankees then, even now the Yankees, the Pzazach. But in those days, the Yankees, the Yankees. This is living in Manhattan. That was it. The Yankees. People were very rabid Yankee fans. And the story was told that many, he was already well into his 90s, I believe, that he said, certainly it was true, how should I say it, 25 years ago or so, when I heard the story, when he was new, so then he was in the 70s, that he said, when I hear that the Yankees lose, which in Yiddish means, still bothers me that the Yankees lose. Somebody told me that a few years ago, I think just 4 or 5 years ago, he made a Kiddush. And he asked, Rebbe, what's the Kiddush? I've reached a level that when the Yankees lose, it doesn't bother me anymore. He was 95 or something, maybe 98 years old, until he got the Yankees out of his system. It took him almost 80 years to get him out of his system. And he's a man who learns every single second. Gives you an idea of the power of the sports culture in this country. He's a man who doesn't waste a second. He's washing the dishes and he's looking at the Mishnah Brura and he's driving. He's having a masmut otzum, but somehow in his inner core, shows that sports penetrates your inner core. If then, again, you can go find out in some of the unofficial circles. It's not going to be on his biography, believe me.
I heard him say it.
What?
I heard him say it.
You heard him say it yourself. When did you have a connection?
Yeah.
So we're talking about 7 years ago, 8 years ago, 9 years ago, something like that. Less than 10 years ago. What did he say? Right, it's still on. Yeah. He said, but it's before the Kiddush or after the Kiddush?
No, he said.
It still bothers me.
Yeah.
Oh, so see, so we know that the decade ago, it's still bothering him. So it's in the last decade that he overcame it and made a Kiddush. So we have it directly from Rabbi Schoenberg's mouth. You also heard it from his mouth. So you can't deny the story. Okay. So when we get excited about the New York Giants winning the Super Bowl, or about this guy from, this Asian guy with the basketball, whatever else we get excited about, we shouldn't feel bad, because we'd like to Rabbi Schoenberg also got excited about these things. B, remember, it's going to get into your core, it's going to be very hard to get out. And C, when you get it out, you should make a Kiddush. Okay, those are the lessons that we should learn. But more important than all that is to become a masman in learning and the Talmud Chacham, and that we should that would be what Rabbi Rishon would want from us. Kavanah Levracha. What he'd want from us is to follow his example in our smada, in our Yiras Shamayim, in our Avas Chesed. He said he slept on the floor. His kids slept on the floor, so he should be able to take a Talmid. He's a great people, and we mourn their loss, and we. We should be inspired by their example. That's the whole thing about a hesped for an Adam Gadol, is to be inspired by his example. If we're not in the Madrega that he was on, so it doesn't mean we're potter from doing anything. We're required to do what we can to reach such a Madrega, as much as we can do. Okay, Rabosai. Thank you for mentioning to me, because he was. I really didn't have a direct personal connection. I would say, unfortunately. I had seen him on numerous occasions, but one of the occasions, interesting story happened. He was Masada Kedushin at a Talmud of mine's wedding. And he had, because he was coming from Eretz Yisrael, he had the minig of signing the ksuba under the chuppah, which is minig Eretz Yisrael. In minig America, we signed the ksuba at the Chosin's Tish. Are you familiar with this? I mean, you've been to weddings? in Minig Eretz Yisrael, they signed the ksuba under the chuppah, which it has, technically speaking, makes more sense because the ksuba was written in past tense. He said to her, be my wife, and she agreed to be his wife. We write it prospectively. If you want to be more accurate, you have to write it in past tense, and you should sign it in past tense. That's Minig Eretz Yisrael. I've seen it. That's Minig Eretz Yisrael. He did that Minig, and as a result, I was called up to be an aid ksuba, which, you know, normally you don't call up an egg suba, because egg suba signs has a silent role. No one knows who he is. He signs his suba, and then he walks away, so no one knows who he is. At this particular wedding, the funny thing was that the kala's name was Willig. And I was called up publicly as an egg suba under the chuppah. So, you know, it's not Cohen or anything like that. This is not a name that is 1,000 people that people have. So some eyebrows were raised because we have a minig we don't. That has to do with our sugya now, b'chalitza, that a korov should not serve, and we have a minig when it comes to kedushin. Even a distant relative does not serve as an aid kedushin. This is a ksuba, a little bit discounted, but he didn't blink and he said, "Okay, fine, sign the ksuba." And my rule was, if I don't know how I'm related, then it doesn't bother me. We probably are related because this is a family of Levi, and I'm a Levi also. We can't, unless you get to the computer, I don't know, I can't figure out who our common ancestor is. I can't figure it out. I mean, I don't know how to go on these. If you have a good computer which goes back with roots, you're like, no, I'm interested to find out. I just don't know. Because this Talmud I'm still close with, I came to the Marsha Kol reunion, this Talmud of mine was married to a Willig. Similarly, I had a case with the rabbis Wagner, one Shalita, one Zatzal, Rabbi Shmuel Wagner Shalita from OJ. Anyone here go to OJ? So you know who he is. He had a brother, Oliver Shem, Rabbi Feibel Wagner, who was, and their mother was written up not a lot long ago in the Hamodiah. Her maiden name was Willig. Her father was a Shraga Feibel Halevi Willig. That's who Rabbi Feibel Wagner was named after. Who was a Rav, who was a bit of a Dayan as a youngster in B'chach. Rav Shraga Feibel was the Dayan of B'chach. And he, Rav Yisrael Wagner, the father who married this Miss Willig, that was Mrs. Wagner, Shalita, she's now probably over 90. So therefore we're somehow related. Because he's a Levi. Not only Levi, coming from the same part of the world, from Galicia, which is where my family came from. We're certainly related somehow, but again, I don't know how. On two occasions, I was called up to be an aid kedushin, once with Rav Feibel and once with Rav Shmuel Wagner. And I look at them, I say, you know, we don't even know we're related. So therefore, we don't even know we're related. We're permitted to serve as aid kedushin together, even though we stay away from all relatives. I made up that kiddush myself. Everyone's related. Let's go back to Yaakov Avinu. But if we don't know we're related, it's so remote that I thought that we don't have to be machmir. The inyan. But again, chaval al diodim, we should be zochet to have future gedolim. But from our yeshiva, from other yeshivas, we don't discriminate. And the talmidim in this room should be inspired by Rav Scheinberg's memory and example to become greater lomdei Torah in Yerushalayim. Okay. With that introduction of Osai, as undoubtedly Rav Shama would want, we shouldn't spend the whole shiur on this. We want us to go sit and learn Yevamos. That's what we're learning this year. Let's turn our attention to Masechta Yevamos. Rav Osai, let us begin with the Gemara on Kuf Aleph. Kuf Aleph Medbeis, the Gemara said on the third line, Sriche Daine Lemerze Roka. They have to see the roke that comes from the woman's mouth as it goes onto the floor. How do you know? Pasuk. Yipuma di Yavama. Dechsiv le'ene askenim v'yorka. That's what it says. What kind of din is this? So, the question is, what kind of din is this? Is it a real drasha? Says about Yom Shel Shlomo, Ein Olimud Gomor. Tov Yoka Befanav Ksiv. Well, Ein Askenim. What kind of drush is that? Ulein Askenim Dixiv Avachol Tzanalakoy. Rabbos, if the Balkori read it this way. You don't hear about Bar Mitzvah Parshas Kiseitze? Maybe you read this Parsha, maybe? No? If you read it that way, just take a look over here in the Torah or Hashalim. Take a look. That's the asmach. That's the asnachta. Can you imagine about Karavi like this? What? They tell him to go back. You got it all wrong. The Me'al Raglo clearly is going. Excuse me. The let's chazer again. The pasuk says Le'ene Askenim V'Yorka. There are how many words in between? Le'ene Askenim V'Chol Tzanam Raglo V'Yorka. What kind of drush is this? It says the Yom Shel Shlomo. It's only an Asmachta Bialma. Asmachta Bialma. What about our Gemara? Our Gemara says, Le'ene my ovid le. Mashma the male of Gomor. So, the whole pilpul over here in the Marashal, in the Yom Shel Shlomo, it's Simon Lamed Tes. For your information, you can look it up later on. Come to it, perhaps in more detail later on. This is at the end of the Perek on Kuvav and Mebeis. But it relates to our sugi. Seems there's an asmachta beyond. Okay? It's not ma'akev, because the rekika itself is not ma'akev. That's what we said about the kriya yesterday. Interesting. The Bach seems to say it's puzzle, and the kash is how going to be. So someone suggests, Rabbi Osai, what it means is that a suma is puzzle. You know why? Kol shein aror lebila bila ma'kevesbo. It's true that the Rekika is not Me'akev, and certainly the Riyas of Rekika is not Me'akev. But the same way you have to be Roy Laruk, which everybody is, presumably, you have to dine to be Roy Lirus as a Rekika. So if he's blind, unfortunately, he cannot serve as a dine for this reason alone. Okay. Now, let's spend a little bit of time on what we spoke about yesterday. We'll come back to this again tomorrow. We can't finish today, but a little bit of time today, and we'll get back to it tomorrow. The idea of kviyus mokum. We already pointed out yesterday, tzricha daini lemikva duchta is found in between, the Gemara talks about the five dayanim, and later on talks about the five dayanim. Hello davarhu, why is it doing in between? So, these the Yom Shel Shlomo, again, we read before, Simon Lamates. Now we go all the way back to Simon Gimel. The Yom Shel Shlomo here in Perek Yud Beis of Yevamos. Quotes our Gemara. What's this doing here? Why is it inserted in the middle? He tells you as follows. Something quite remarkable, which most people don't do nowadays. I mentioned yesterday, we don't do that nowadays. He says as follows. It's here to teach you that all five should participate in the Kfir Smokh. All five should participate in the Kfir Smokh. That's what the Kfir Smokh was found in the Gemara here after we talk about five, before we talk about five again, to teach you that all five are supposed to be involved in the Kfir Smokh. I already told you yesterday, based on my discussion, I was having the three sit here and the two sit here, then the Nosafim, that Amen is only three do the Kfir Smokh. But we'll see soon what the Kfir Smokh exactly means. At least a little bit today, and we'll see more as we go tomorrow. It's interesting, based upon the lashon of the Gemara, that the three should tell the two, let's go to be Kovei Abakum. I'm going to read it to you from the source. And I told you yesterday that we have it now in the back of the Shulchan Aruch, we have first Simon Kuf Samach Tes, which is the siman of chalitza proper, followed by seder chalitza. Now the two sidre chalitza. There's one of the mechaber, right? The mechaber himself, Rav Yosef Karo, wrote a seder chalitza, and he wrote on the side a pirush seder chalitza. It's all the Ramot Merhagos on the mechaber's seder chalitza. In my Shulchan Aruch, and I think most, in the back they have another seder chalitza from Rav Michal Rav Yosef Shmikrakow. And this sefer has on the two pirushim at the bottom, the Pischei Tshuva that we're already used to, and a sefer called the Nachlei Dvash. Nachlei Dvash, not exactly sure who wrote it, but certainly is a sefer to look at. So this is another sefer chalitza. So we have, I don't think the regular Shulchan Aruch has a Pischei Tshuva on the Maram's Seder Chalitza. I'm sure there are many people which will learn from there. Just giving you a Maram HaKomah, so you got a fancy Shulchan Aruch, it has that as well. But let's go back over here to Seder Chalitza, Rabbi Osai. Sivov. I think it's worthwhile if you're coming with a Shulchan Aruch, Hilchas Chalitza, because every day we're going to be seeing parts of it. Kviyikvu Mokom LaChalitza. Sheyomru HaShlosh V'Shnayim HaNosofim. Nelech lemochor v'neishiv v'mokom ploni k'dei lachlot shom. End quote of the Mechaber. So you get an impression. Three tell the two, let's go tomorrow. But who's let's? Let's all five of us go tomorrow to be koveya the mokom. Interestingly, the Truma Sadeshen says, no, it's not true. It's enough to have three be koveya mokom. Why is it enough to have three Koveya Mokom? It's quoted here in the Perush Seder Chalitza by the Mechaber himself. In what's called Sivkotan Yud Bey, he's doing a Perush on his own Seder Chalitza. Why did he say that? He had a good reason for saying it. What's his reason for saying it? Truma Sadeshin says in Simon Reish Chavov as follows. It's derived from the also El Askenim. Okay? That's what we have over here. What we have? Tzrichi dainei lemikveh mokom for all siyavimta ashar alas kenim. What's kenim? What's kenim? Where's kenim? So we know, Rabbi Osai, that the kenim are the ones who are makrim, as we already saw yesterday, and we already saw over here, Rabbi Osai, on earlier in the sugya. But the Gemara says, what do you need? Shlosha dayanim sheyodim lahakros. Doesn't say you need five. You only need three who yodim lahakros. So just you only need three yodim lahakros. And that's derived from Zakenim. And here it says, Zakenim, it's enough to have three who are going to be Koveya Mokom. So writes the Truma Sadeshin, as quoted by the Beis Yosef. The three, the main three, are the ones who are Kaveh Amakom. I mentioned this to you yesterday. So if the ones who are the elderly and more senior, and perhaps even more scholarly Dayanim, we don't want to bother them to make two trips, so they're not the ones who are Kaveh Amakom, they never have to sit on the side as the Nosafim, even though they're much bigger Talmid HaChachamim, and the three who went the day before took two trips, or happened to be downtown, whatever it might be, that's our Minig Bizman Hazeh. Fine. It's interesting. The Darkei Moshe, Pirush on the tour. Let me read you the Lashon over here. Kuf Samach Tes Sif Katan Gimel has a following comment. Here we go. The Beis Yosef again. This is the Beis Yosef of Yevikvu Mokom. Kosta Truma Sadeshin. Sov Simon Reish Chavov. The Shnayim no Sofim no Tzvichel and Mikvi Duchta. Not necessary. Because Agos Mordechai. And the Simon Kuf Yutes. For Yomu Ashlosh Elayonim Al Ashnayim. Nelech V'Neshe V'Mokom Ploni. Want me to look it up? Let's look in the back. Everyone look in the back. Agos Mordechai. End of Simon Kuf Yutes. Take a look together. It's good to see things inside. Not enough that the Beis Yosef quotes it. We should see it ourselves. We have a Mordechai here. It's page Chav Gimel, column 1, line 2. For Yomu Ashlosha Dayonim El Ashnayim, Nelech V'Neshe V'Mokom Ploni B'Gova Shalir, the Tanya B'Sifri, mentioned this yesterday, for also Yivim to Tzrichim Shayala B'Gova Shalir, Klobu B'Mokom B'Fursa. Now, the gross we don't have us nowadays. Why not? We have Gova Shalir nowadays. It didn't say Sanhedrin, didn't say Beis HaMikdash. It's a good question. I guess maybe now we don't have that concept anymore. Perhaps. Matzasi Afilu L'Chatchila, Lobina Chamisha L'Fersume Mils Ad Kan. It's not clear. So the Dake Moshe says, Agos only sees She'elu Ashlosha Yomru L'Shnayim She'rotzim Lelech L'Kvoa Mokom Te'lefarsim Adov B'Fnei Ashnayim Abel Eino Ratzalomar She'yelchu Gam Ashnayim. So the Beis Yosef puts the Agos Molochai in opposition to the Trumas Hadesh. Interesting. Efshe Shemitams Agam Ken Kosev Rabbeinu Tosefes Hashnayim, the tour writes about the idea of five people. Kodem Akvir Smokom, which is in Siv Dalet. Kihem Tzrichim Lodash Shekovu Mokom V'yafars Muadava Kemoshar Kolach Halitza. So the three go, they have to tell the two that we're going to be Koveh the Mokom. So suggests the Dake Moshe in a compromise here in Sif Katan Gimel. Not only that, take a look at the Seder Chalitza of the Rosh. We have that printed in the back of the Rosh. Rebbe will say, in the back of the Rosh is a Seder Chalitza. Everyone has Seder Chalitza, apparently. It's a style. Please turn over here. Seder Chalitza. It's printed on page Samach, Dapei Rosh. Take a look. Seder Chalitza. Page Samach, column 1, with the 10th line, a big bold print. It's called Sidu Chalitza. Okay. Mitzvah Chalitza b'shlosha sheyodim lahakros. V'kavi duchta sheomer nelech b'mokom ploni lachlot sham. V'mosif en aleim ot shnayim. Afil ha-maratzis, afisumi milsa. What do you see klar from the Rosh? At the kviyas mokom, it's enough to have three. You need not have five. And exactly when is this Kviyas Mokom? Take a look on the Os Tes and Korban Asano. Please take a look. Very important. Mashma Filu Bo Beyom. Ulechatchila Kovim Ibe'erif. We do it the day before. Okay? Fascinating. What happens to the Chalitza is on Sunday. He quotes over here, you don't do it on Shabbos. Because it looks like a din on Shabbos if you don't do. Okay? Maybe Yom Tov you can do it then. That whole story, Hachana Lechol, against the Beis Shmuel, which is the Ilu Bona Mokom. Then he says it's the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Okay, a whole story. A little fascinating. We'll get to Blinetta a little bit later on. Just giving you some of the intricacies going forward about this idea of Kavir's Mokom. Now, Rabosai. I forgot to tell you yesterday, someone had discussed the question of the Groz Shaila about Pirsum by a Chalitza, not by a Get. What's the difference? I told you that some say that when it comes to a Get, there's a piece of paper in her hand, not a Chalitza. So this is given by Rabbi Avraham Minahar. Goes back to Rishonim. Rabbi Avraham Minahar asks the Groz Kasha. And he gives a teretz. I want to read it to you from the text. You should be able to see. Unfortunately, Rabbi Avraham ben Ahar, the Ksav Yad ends on Daf Kuf Aleph Mebeis. So we're going to be bereft of the Ksav Yad for the remainder. But let's chap arayin in this last, let's chap as much as we can over here, the Fersume Milsa. It says as follows. Second. Find it. Oh. I will beget lo boin and pirsum. You know why? Sherehi miskareshes beget shunos in love rayosa ima. Abba chalitzi miskareshes v'masha osa v'en rayosa ima. Fairish arayed. And Rabbi Avraham ben Ahar. Ochel asked the same thing on his own. Probably didn't have this. Okay? So I just wanted to bring that to your attention, to read it, always good to read things, Rabbi Osai, from inside. You talk about chumras? Oh, I have a chumra for you. Listen to this one now. And we keep this chumra whenever we can. The Seder Chalitza over here discusses Pirsum. Sifyut Gimel Yudalet. Meviim or Anoshim Sheyir Shemesh Eis Chalitza Ulefachas Yu Chamisha Shenimtza Im Adayonim Heim Asara. You want to have 10 people. 10 people. Can you imagine that? 10. A minion. That's why people who are not directly involved in the chalitza can get into the room. Maybe if it's a private concern. But you have to have at least 10 people. So that's how Talmidim get in, because to be mashed in the minion. And you have to have we're going to show up. So you have 11, we have 12. So that's how maybe it'll be, I don't know, maybe there'll be a chalitza between now and the end of the year. We'll be able to go to see one. If there is one, and if something which is not very private, I will try to encourage the people involved to allow the Talmidim to see the chalitza. To see. Yes, sir.
You're allowed to have 10 people, you should have
10 people. Should have 10 people.
And when they count it, spreading the word.
The Gemara says that Asara Kabin Sicha Yordul Ola. Tisha Natlu Nashim. So you can make your own decision. But in the classical Sfarim it says that we don't introduce women into the count of the 5, for sure not. What about the 10? That is an issue. I'm serious. That is discussed in the various poskim, whether the women can count for the 10. Just give me a second. I'll get there momentarily. B'siyata d'shmai. The Ramah here in Seder Chalitza Sif Vav says as follows: the Noagim Shahochin LaMokam Shirotzim Leishim Sham LaMokav Yoshemat. The Rush didn't say that. The Rush said, "What do you do? The 3 tell the 2 tomorrow we'll go there to Chalitza, but they can still do it in the comfort of their own homes." That's what the Rosh says. The Ramah says, no, you go to that place. That's why all the years that you had chalitzas downtown at the Bezin office, I would never go. I'd go an extra step downtown. Now we have it very often here in our own Bezin room here. So then I could be from the 3, because I'm willing to go to the next room twice. But the idea of going there is not found in the Rosh, not found in the Gemara Beferish, but it is found in the in the Ramah. It's interesting. Some say that even, I will tell you, it's in Aruch HaShulchan, says that way. Aruch HaShulchan is Beferish, and it's in Kuf Samatav Simches, even the Yavama counts towards the 10. Herself, Kavachom, other women. So here, a quiz show. Where does a woman count to her minion? We are liberal. The 10 for chalitza. It seems to me this is based on a Ramah and Hilchos Megillah. We're still in Chodesh Adar, Rabbi Osai. We're still holding. Where it says that there's an Indian of 10 people by the Megillah because of Prisum and Nisa. The Ramah quotes one opinion that women count towards that minion. See, it's also Pearson. Just making that comparison of my own. Okay, fine. It's interesting, where does he get the fact that you have to go to that place? Who says so? Says the Vilna Gaon, in commenting on this, where does it come from? Read it to you. The Gra comments on the Seder Chalitza, and he also comments on the Perish Seder Chalitza. After all, the author of Perish Seder Chalitza is none other than Rav Yosef Karo. So he comments on all that Rav Yosef Karo says. So here, Rav Osai, the whole discussion of whether they have to go there or not go there, a discussion here in the Seder Chalitza and the Perish. So the Gra makes the following comment. So find this here. finding where it goes. 1 second. Forgive me. I'm just right now not finding the tzion of the Gra, because it's maybe it turns the page, maybe it's on the wrong page. Anyway, I'll read what the Gra says. B'gemara kuf af and beis mashma shetzrichim lelech she'omar to salik. And Rashi says, we saw this yesterday, leishiv sham. So therefore, it's not enough just to make a statement, tomorrow we're going to go there. Here, he quotes over here the Pirush Sheder Chalitza. He quotes it, Bistro mi Bruna. Likvius mokom ein tzorach leishiv sham klal. Avarisi rabo say shahochu sham. V'yom ha-bekan neishiv lachlat samachar. Amnam bo zaruah mashma, tafil halicha lo tzorach, rak amira bi'alma. Okay, Amira Bialma says the Gemara. No, the Gemara's mashma tosalik zeros aleishav shana. They sat there the day before. So what's the Gemara here in Sifkat and Chav Beis and commenting on the Pirush Sheder Chalitza Os Yud Gimel of Rav Yosef Kara? Okay, it's showing it to you. Oh, do all three say Nelech? Do all three Rabbosai say Nelech? That's a good question. That's a good question. What did the Gemara say about this? Do all three say Nelech? So the Pirush Sheder Chalitza quotes our Gemara. Right, quotes our Gemara. Let me read you what he says over here. For Yomu Ashlosh, we saw it in the Argos Mordechai. The three tell the two. Okay? Then he says, Ain't Srichen Kulan Lomakain. What the Rosh says, they should three. No. El HaChacham Shebehem. One person says Nelech. That's the Gemara. Omele Rav Lerav Papa. Tol Izirza Dekani. Velo Ashkechon Shehem Omru Klum. The Gemara says enough to have one. Rav said to Rav Papa. Mefurish the Gemara says of Yes Yosef in his Pirush Seder Chalitza. But still, only says that one said. Only says that one. Says the Gra, that's no raya. Ein rayos machras. The Shlomo the kulam amru v'lo chashelu. They all said it. They only mentioned one. Where do you find this? Kemo shekosu says the Gra. Bereish perik beiz Rosh Hashanah chav beizim and beiz. In that context, you'll see. It said that one said, but really, they all said. So the Gra is docha the raya. It's not a good raya. Now there's quite a remarkable possibility over here. Listen to this now. Listen to this. V'yomu zeh lezeh, nelech l'mokom ploni. Catch this now. V'nikba mokom l'chalitza shel plonis. V'yelchu v'yeshvu shom l'shem chalitza. Shenema v'yolsi v'imtu v'ashara. V'yakru m'mkomom harishon v'yelchu l'mokom ha'sheni l'achlat shom. What? What's he saying? That I'm in place A, I go to place B, and in place B, I declare, we're going to do the chalitza in place C. A, B, C. That's a simple read. Why should that be so? He explains why. He says, if they're standing up, or they're not, you know, doing anything in particular, tzarech sheyesh b'mokom kavua, Shemisham yikvu mokom chalitza, kteshayakru misham v'yelchu l'mokom shekavu, v'oz yehakeru l'kviyus. Shema yukovu mokom chalitza v'odem omdim ubo v'yom yelchu v'yeshu sham, lo minkir emilsa. What does that mean? Three guys are standing up. Let's go there to do a chalitza. And we walk from here and we sit there. We're not kovei mokom at all. So I have to go sit somewhere else, get up again, and then be kovei makom subsequently. Please come in. Rav Khan Shlita asked that this gentleman come in.
I'm here with the Rabbi Perkowitz, who Arachmanitzan has two children who are special needs, and it makes up for very exorbitant medical bills, and that he can't manage the bills on his own. So if you will be able to help out by giving a little money, it would be tremendously appreciated.
Okay. Whoever can give money now should give money now. And if they want to write a check, who?
If they want to write a check, so then or no, Jamaica to Rav Khan Shul.
Rav Khan.
Says a base, I think their base is spelled more like BAIS, so it's with an A.
B-A-I-S?
B-A-I-S.
Base what?
Base Avigdor.
So if you want to make a check, make out the base Avigdor. I see your system. This is where you're going to do your job. Go around.
Thank you,
Rabbi. All right, kidding. Rabbi Khan asks. Rabbi Khan saying a Sichus Musa tonight. I saw the sign at 9:40, which will include, I saw the sign Divrei Hesped by Rabbi Shon Bezeket Tzadik Levrach. So I recommend that even though they don't normally go to Sichus Musa, I should always go to Sichus Musa. Even though they don't normally go to Sichus Musa, after we spoke a little bit earlier about Rabbi Scheinberg's Atzal, perhaps we'll be inspired to go have a little additional Musa from Rav Khan Shalita. Should be an Ilu Neshama for Rav Scheinberg Zatzal. It's certainly strongly recommended. If Rav Khan asks us to help out someone who is in need, it's certainly a mitzvah to help out someone in need. It's also a mitzvah to listen to a Talmud Chacham. So you get two mitzvahs for the price of one. So that's why I feel it's very, very important. Okay, thank you very much. Good. Checks can be made out, or money can be given.
The people don't have now and they want to. I won't be in the back of the on the second floor. It's Medrash. Wrote the acting.
Very good. Okay. Very good. Yishakach Chacham. Kol Tov. Kol Tov. Kol Tov. Says the Perish Lechalitha of Yosef Karo, that only if they koveya the Mokom on that very day. But if they kovei makom the day before, which is our minig, then it's no problem. If they're standing up and they go to another place and they sit down there, the mere fact that they say we're going to do a chalitza tomorrow, that itself is recognizable as a kviyas makom. You follow what I'm saying? If it's the same day as the chalitza, then they're not being kovei. They're just sitting down doing a chalitza. It proves nothing. But it's the day before, the mere that even though they were standing, they just sit down, that itself would work as a kviyas slama. So is the pirush in the chalitza of the Reish Yosef, Sifkatan Yud Beis. Yes, sir.
Sorry, I don't really understand. What you're insisting on the day before, and
the day. On the day before, three guys are standing up. Let's be kovei amakom for the chalitza for tomorrow. So they stand up, they go to the next room, and they sit down, and then they walk away. So what are they doing? Meshugoyim. They go, they walk, they stand, and they stand and walk away. Meshugoyim. No, it must be kovei amakom for tomorrow's chalitza. But if it's bo bayom, today is Wednesday. So Wednesday at, who fixed that clock? Wednesday at 2:00, I go and I say, we're going to go sit down next door, and in 10 minutes we're going to do a chalitza. It's not recognizable that I'm going there to be kovei. I'm going there to do the chalitza. So that's not kovei smoker. That's what the Pirish Selitz of the Beis Yosef says right over here in Sifkaton Yud Beis. And therefore, since we have a minig of being koveir from yesterday, we already saw this before. It's found over here. Kviyus mokom terach shia be'erev yom shalifnei achalitza is what the al-minig is in Seder Chalitza Sif Zayin. Who said so? Rabbi Osai? That's what the Mefarshim say. The Mordechai said it. Why? Why the day before? So some say Erev, does it mean Erev only? Lafuke Shachris, they say no. Better by Erev, but if you can't do it, it's okay to do it in the morning as well. Something between Menachem Ma'ariv. And if you couldn't do it on that day, the Kvir says, Batal, you have to do a Kvir a second time, a third time, a fourth time. But how many days, again, we do it the day before. The day before. Shine. And he thinks he can even do it at night. It's not considered a din proper, but kilubona mokom the esmezum of the bezin. It's not really a din proper. You can even do it at night. That's what better, but still better to do it by day than to do it by night. So Rabbi Kivega quotes that. This is some of the pratim over here in the Seder Chalitza. It's interesting, Rabbi Osai. We spoke yesterday about the nature of the bezin for Chalitza. We said it's not the same as Dini Mamanis, where it's a controversial issue, and the Bezdin is making a decision about a difficult adversarial dispute between Reuven and Shimon in monetary matters. No. Bezin for Chalitza is more of a formality that the Chalitza must be done al pi Bezin. And we said, if you recall, this could lead to certain stringencies with respect to Chalitza, which do not apply with respect to Dine Mamanis. So I want to read you something which is quite interesting in this regard from the Stei Chemed. Stei Chemed. Do I have it here? Don't I have it here? Don't have it here. Oh, I do have it here. Stei Chemed, not on top. Stei Chemed has a whole marocha about Chalitza. A whole pages and pages about Chalitza. Go. Chalitza. Marechas Chalitza. I'm reading from Simon Gimel. Sifkotan Aleph. Mitzvah Chalitza Vishlosha Dayanim. Why? It's because Chachoshim Din. He gives an incredible. Well, but before we go any further than that, he says as follows. What about a Yochid Mumche? What's a Yochid Mumche mean? In Dine Mamanis, one person who's a mumcheh can pass in Dine Mamanis. He says that works for Dine Mamanis does not work for Chalitza. Chalitza has to be a bezin. The Gzeres HaKos has to be three. Not because it's the same as Dine Mamanis. Who said it's Dine Mamanis? Believe it or not, Yeshua's Yaakov. I have it on my desk downstairs. Yeshua's Yaakov claims that the only reason you need three is because you go over the Ksuba. Cain Kotzwa Poskim, says Yeshua's Yaakov. As a Stechemet, who are these Poskim? Who are these Poskim? Lo Ra'in Si Shum Remez Mizeh. I haven't seen Ahua. Lo Yadati Mivi Mi Poskim. What are we talking about? No, Adam. Not true. It's just not true. You need three, not Midrabbonim, because it's like the Ksuba Midrabbonim. No, it's a Din D'Oraisa, it's a Kainim. Not a Midrabbonim. No, it's a din d'oraisa, Rabosai. This is Teichemet against the Yeshua's Yaakov. And for this reason, he says, a yochid mumche would not work. Why? If it would just be a matter of dine mominis, eclectic suba, Rabosai, then a yochid mumche would work, as a yochid mumche works for dine mominis. Here, no, it's a gzeres akos if you have to have three zakenim. Very, very important. Very, very important. Nafkamina, again, for an arusa, who has no ksuba, according to many rishonim. So therefore, according to the Yeshua Siakav, he wouldn't require a bezin shel gimel. We don't pass like him. We pass, you have to have a bezin shel gimel as a din d'oraisa. Oh. So now, Rabosai, I wanted to discuss some of the highlights of Chalitza from this beautiful new sefer that I discovered yesterday, Chalitza Kilchos. I'm trying to go through some of the practical aspects. We had discussed the idea of Yodea Lahakros being not Ma'akev because the Kriya itself is not Ma'akev. Oh, before that, we discussed the question of One more thing. I read to you yesterday from the Sefer, beautiful Sefer. Yes, our Kasha. How can you have an expert? How can you have someone who doesn't know anything is going to ask a Shaila? Doesn't know what's going on. So we gave it Teretz based on Rabbeinu Peretz. He has to at least know what the Shailas are. He suggests a different Teretz, Rabbi Osai, that some say the only time you can have three people who don't know to be Dayanim, they just know how to read, they don't know any halachas, is only if, as he calls it, as a Chacham Omeid Al Gabov. Chacham Omeid Al Gabov, then and only then is it okay. Because otherwise, they're not going to know what to ask a Shaila. Wow. However, he does quote the classical Svarim disagree. The Ber Heitev on the Simon Kuf Samach Tes, the very beginning. Sivkot and Beis says, no, you don't need a Chacham Omer Al Gabov. Let me read it to you, the exact Lashon. Kuf Samach Tes Berhetev Beis Afal Pi She'ein Rav Mumcha Omen Aleim. What's it from the Maramins? Because presumably they'll be able to ask a Shaila. I told you before, we explained it based on Rabbeinu Peretz, but they didn't have Rabbeinu Peretz Tosas in those days, so I don't know. What about, again, a guy who can't read? He writes over here as follows. This is in Os Yud Beis, in this Chalitza Kachasa Perek Chaf Aleph. Like this. There were those who claim that maybe if they do, they cannot read, they cannot tell them how to read it, it's ma'akev. How can it be? How can it be if you don't read? It's also not ma'akev. It's a big deal. Oh. So over here, he quotes a sefer called the Nachle Dvash. We just quoted that before. So I don't have it on Kuf Samach Tes. I only have it in the back of the Seder Chalitza. Here's the following remarkable concept. You need Yodu to be Makre. Kamo Ilem v'ilemes to Psulim. Kevan she'enem ruyim l'kriya. Av she'etzem l'kriya enem akev. Why? Kol she'enem ruyim l'kriya. I showed this to you yesterday, no? Kol she'enem ruyim l'bila. Bila makeves bo. So the Nachle Dvash answers. Kevan shim yilamdu osim yedu lahakros, mikri ruuyim lahakros, rabosai. In other words, someone who cannot speak, never cannot speak, you can't teach him to speak, there's something wrong with the body. But someone who doesn't know how to read Hebrew, got an old pan, don't know how to read Hebrew. So you can't say it's ain't a royal lahakros, right? Now you don't know. You're very royal to study in an old pan, and you'll find out. That's what he suggests over here. Take a look, Rabosei, in the Pirush of Mishnayos. We see a very, very important halacha, which is not found anywhere in Shas. Not found in Shas. Pirush of Mishnayos L'Rambam. This is very important. It's right before the Rif in our Gemaras. Please turn to the Pirush of Mishnayos. There's one or two words there, which you won't find anywhere else. Not in Shas Bavli, anyway. Says the Rambam in the beginning of Pirush of Mishnayos. Hediotos, Einem Chachamim, El Sheyodim Kriyas Haloshen, whatever the gear says in Kapach, a little bit different. Vachalitza Muteres Behen, Bishas Adchak. Whoa! Doesn't say that now, Gemara. You know where it says it? In the Yerushalmi. In the Yerushalmi, it says Bishas Adchak. Because the Yerushalmi says that the word Zakenim means Mumchim. L'chatchila. How do you know, Rabosai, according to the Yerushalmi, that b'di'evet, it's enough to have people who are hediotos, who don't know too much? Take a look at the Yafei Einayim, who always quotes Yerushalmis. He'll tell you what the Yerushalmi says. Please turn. Yafei Einayim is on our print page, Tes Zayin. It's all based on Yerushalmis. Hediotos. It's the next to the last line of Kuf Aleph and Aleph. Birushalmi nafkale mechalutz hanal mikomoko. In other words, chalutz hanal, they did it, even though there was no zakenim there, it's still okay. Now we understand very well, according to Birushalmi lishitoso, lechatchili should have zakenim, which means tamir chachamim, who know the halachas, and b'diyemid, chalutz hanal mikomoko, that's fine. But the Bavli doesn't learn that way, Rabosai. Not at all. The Bavli learns that the word Zakenim means Zakenim Hayodim Lahakros. Doesn't mean Tamid Chachamim. So according to the Bavli, the simple pshat is, Rabosai, that these Zakenim Hayodim Lahakros who don't know anything about the Halachos are kosher even Lechatchila. The Aruch HaNeres is kasha. Why did the Rambam Paskin like the Yerushalmi, which is also Sifri, against the Bavli? Truth is, Rabosai, he said it in Pirush Mishnayos. If you look in the Rambam Yad HaChazaka, which you look in the back, Perek Dal Halacha Hei Nukasim V'Chalitza, that's the one on our Mar Makomas, he says nothing, to my knowledge, there's nothing in that Rambam which indicates what he writes over here in Pirush Mishnayos, that the three people who don't what we'll see soon. Let's read exactly what it says. Perek Dal Halacha Hey, Ram writes as follows. B'fnei shlosh sheyodim lahakros. That's all. They have to know how to read. No more than that. No more than that. Osim shnayim, afilu hayu ami haaretz. Yeah. It's not a chatchila. Well, they know how to read. So you get an impression that although in the Perish of Mishnayis he had his chumrah, told him Mishnayis Atzchak, these people, like the Rishalmi, but in the Yad HaChazaka he came back to the normal way and he passed it, in fact, like the Babli. Nonetheless, Rabbi Osai, the meaning is that the Chacham Shabir with two Chashuvim are the Dayanim. Who quotes this minig? The Ramo. The Ramo Rabosai in the Seder Chalitza. Seder Chalitza Siv Beis. No, not Siv Beis. He quotes over here somewhere the Ramo that the Chochom Shebi'ir and the two Chashuvim. One second, here they are. Sif Aleph. The Chatchila Noagin Shachochom Shebi'ir im Shnei Chashuvi Ha'ir Hem Adayonim. Not only that, וגם לוקחים השניים שנוסף, מוסיפים מחשובי העיר. It's a חשובי העיר, I don't think he means גבירים, you know, money. I think he means people who know how to learn. The Chacham is the one who knows the most, and they know a little bit less. That's how I understood this Ramah, which is important. That's our minute. Why? So the Gra says over here, in Sivkot and Gimel, to defend this custom. Why? The Kayim Divrei HaYerushalmi. Yerushalmi says the Kainim about Amar Hadyotos. Mitzvah is Kainim. Minayim Afil Hadyotos. Tamalama Chalutz Hanal. Nikol Makom. As we saw in the Yifei Naim, quoted only the second half. And the Sifri. But also, Yivim Tov Ashar. Mitzvah Levezin Shia Begova Shaliva Shia Zikainim. Means the real Zikainim. Other posts say, forget about the Yerushalmi. Even according to the Bavli. What did the Nebuchadnezzar Yosef say? You need Talmidei Chachamim. So even according to the Bible, you have to worry about the Ritva and the Nebuchadnezzar Yosef. That's what Yochai Shulchan writes. Oh. So now we get to questions, halacha lemaisa, some nitty-gritty questions about the composition of a bezin. In Dine Mominus, Rabbi Osai, in Shulchan Aruch Chosh and Mishpat, there's a whole discussion about how Rav v'Talmido, a Rebbe and a Talmud, can they count as two Dayanim? Or should we say, no, the Talmud does not have an independent opinion, so you can't count them as two? A discussion in Chosh and Mishpat and Simen Yud Ches. So the Aruch HaShulchan says in Siv Beis that a Rav and a Talmud can combine as two, can be used as two different, two of the three Dayanim. And some suggest that even according to those who say that they cannot serve as two with respect to Dine Mamanis, that's different. Why? Because in Dine Mamanis, Meikar Adin, you require smuchim. When Takonas Chazal, Shlotina Zalz Bifnei Lovin, it's enough to have a Yotos. You have to have at least a Rav and a two independent people, not a Rav and a Talmud. Contrast that with Chalitza, that Meikar Adin, it's enough to have a Yotos. And it's enough to have a Yotos, so Rav and a Talmud can also count as two. We said before, even in Amoritz works, b'di'evit. More than that, Rabosai, all the laws of Chalitza are written down. It's not like a case of a Reuven versus Shimon in a Din Torah. There you have to look at the case and analyze the people and see what happened. It requires so much independent thought. So you're afraid that the Talmud will be overly influenced by his Rebbe, they shouldn't be counting as two. When it comes to Chalitza, we already saw there's very little to discuss. It's basically whatever things are written down. There's not going to be a problem that the Talmud is too much kafuf to the Rebbe. Others disagree and say no, based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin of Lamedov. Whenever you need three, you don't count a Rav and a Talmud as two. When do you count them? Nisa v'heter. It's not mashala, but not when you need three. It's interesting, one second. Even according to the Rambam, who says, when it comes to the Imamunas, you do count a Rebbe and a Talmud as two. Why is that? Because there it's enough to have a Yochid Mumcha. We said before, we mentioned earlier today, here's not enough to have a yachid mumche. So there was a machlekes gedoli apostle. The minhag today is to be makil in the shaila. Very often you have Rav and Talmida serving on a bezdin, and the real reason is because we said before that they, whatever it is there is written down, we're not afraid there's going to be some kind of a lack of integrity or independence, if you will, when a Rav and a Talmid are on the same bezdin of chalitza. Yes, sir.
The idea that says that you need smuchim over here, it's okay because you only need hadidotos, but isn't the whole thing that hadidotos will be able to ask their Rav, so wouldn't this guy just... He doesn't have to just ask the rub, and then it's like...
That we said that yesterday. Even those who say it's enough to have a maratz, they're going to ask their respective rabbanim, or Yosef ask their gedolim. But that doesn't affect this particular ayafus. I don't think so. So now, so we come to another chumrah. There's so many chumras in Uchus Chalitza. There's again the Ramah and Seder Chalitza at the very beginning. Listen to this. V'shaloyu sumim, afilu bi'achas meinem, that's our sugya. Because you shouldn't be blind in one eye. We'll get to that discussion in a minute. There shouldn't have a mum. Says the girl, what? How can it be? The Gemara in Kufal says only sumim posel mishum mum. Right? That's a suma, but not anybody else. Suma derived from the ene. It's a big question. This is just a little bit the graz and arichas over here on the bottom line of someone who is blind in one eye. What's the din of the blind in one eye? So the, as we said before, the Ramah writes, even in one eye should not serve as a dayan for chalitza. Says the Be'er HaGra, the b'shteinov afilu b'di'evet. Why mishum din? Choshen Mishpat, Simon Zion, Sim Beis, it's no good. The Rav Yoh says you shouldn't be blind in one eye. Le'enei askenin. Quote to Yerushalmi. But he says the Gra, if you look at Yerushalmi, it doesn't say that. Rabbi Natam is Machshir, he's blind in one eye. Le'chalitza. That's over here, Rabbi Osai. In our sugya. Right over here, Rabbi Osai. Pasuk Rabbein Atam, Tosu Shmamina. To Suma Be'achas Me'enav Kosher L'Chalitza. Kevin Lovin Matina Mila Eine V'Sagi B'Yechad V'Yachal Diras Rok Mipiyah Yavama from one eye. So it's a Machlokas Gedolia Pasuk Rabbein Atam against the Rav Yoh. Suma with one eye, is he kosher to be an aid by a Chalitza? Machlokas Ledina. Long arichas here in the grub. Now, our minig, he says, this beautiful sefer, I don't know what, if he's an expert in all the minhagim, but he says the minig is to disqualify anybody who has any mum which passes for a kohen, as long as it's what he calls a mum shebegolui, something which is visible. It's not visible. Then he says the minig is not the pasul. I'll read you what he says. Koma sheposel b'kohan la'avoda. B'mum she'eno nika b'goloi, ein chashash b'zafir l'chadchil. It's holding on l'chadchil to begin with. That's what he says. Rabbi said, what's the most notorious potential psul people in this room may even have? Potentially, it's considered to be a mum for kahuna. What's that? Left. Who's a lefty here, Rabbi said? Are we going to say you're possible to be a dayan on a chalitza? I was wondering about that, according to that side. Now, is it Nika that you're a lefty? Is it Goloi? I guess if they watch you play ball, it's a Goloi that you're a lefty. Okay, so maybe it's a few. I never knew you were a lefty. I'm watching you most of the year. I never knew you were a lefty. Because you don't write, you type with a computer. So that may have an impact, computers, on Hilchos Tefillin, if you ask me. I'm not kidding. Because I kid you not. It seems to me there's a whole tumult. If someone is a lefty for writing purposes, and for other purposes, he is a writer. His right hand is stronger, his left hand is more dexterous. That's how I put it. Right? So what's it then? So it's a machloikas gedolei aposkim what is its status as far as tefillin? Some say that if, with respect to tefillin, ukshata muksafta, you tie with the hand that you write with, which means you put the tefillin on the hand opposite the one that you write with, that's it, no matter what, fellow's writing. Finished. Writing overcomes everything. That's the Ramah Paskins, basically. And the Mechaber says, no, it depends upon the hand. That's what we'll call, he does the what's called the row of malachas, which presumably means his stronger hand. Oh. Does it mean a stronger hand? I ask Akasha. If it's strong, strength versus weakness, just give him two weights. See how much he lifts. And it's not shy to talk about a rove. Got a rove. It's just one hand, either one picks up 80 pounds, one picks up 70 pounds. Whatever. It can't be a rove. So my chiddush was, and this is, I said this chiddush for a bar mitzvah which took place many years ago. It took place, Rabosai, almost 27 years ago. Someone from my shul was exactly that way. He was, his right hand was, I play ball with this kid. It's my kid's age. He bats right, throws right, it was right. But he wrote left-handed, and I asked him, what hand do you use to hold a fork and to brush your teeth? He said, left. What do you do?
Left
for everything. Oh, hold on. So I said a chiddush at his, which was his bar mitzvah drasha, this young man, which was used subsequently at my son Simcha's bar mitzvah. So he has exactly the same situation, where his right hand is strong, he plays with right and everything like that, but he writes left-handed and he holds a fork left-handed. The left hand is more dexterous. So I said like this, my chiddush. In the olden days, what do you mean rov malachas? They worked with physical labor. They work on the farm. So the majority of your malacha was done with your stronger hand. You chopped the wood, I don't know, whatever else they did there in the physical labor on the farm. So therefore, you talk about the hand which is the greatest amount of koach, and you talk about rov malachas, which were identical in those years. So today, I said, when we no longer, most of us who earn a livelihood are no longer involved in physical labor. So the majority of what we do requires dexterity instead of strength. So I wanted to suggest, even according to the Mechaber, that follows what's called the Rov Malachas, the Rov Malachas today follow dexterity and not strength. So therefore all these chevra, it was this fellow from my shul, and it was my son, then I had a nephew, exactly the same thing some years later. He was bar mitzvah, the bar mitzvah took place, I think in 1985, 95, and 2002. If I have my years right, and then somebody asked me the same question this last year, same exact this year. So this is a common phenomenon. So I paskined that they should put tefillin on their right hands. A, according to the Ramah, you always follow ksiva, and B, even according to those who go against the Ramah, follow the what's called the Rov Malachas. Nowadays, Rov Malachas are done with dexterity. So writing will work not for Torah's writing so much, but as one of the malachas which requires dexterity. Somebody pointed out to me, that may have been true a generation ago. But today, if I'm counting on the writing to be the malacha which the person does the most, which requires dexterity, well today, when people don't write anymore, the people who hardly carry a pen, what do? They use they type on the computer. Or the texting, emailing, computering, I don't know, the people just don't use pen and paper anymore. So therefore, even though they write left hand, and I assume everyone types with two hands, right? No one anymore goes like this, that's only me. No, right, am I correct? No one in this room goes like this? Nobody, right? Everyone's going with two hands. Okay. My generation was different, okay? But if everyone is writing, it's now computer with two hands, so enochinami, the writing left-handed still counts as writing left-handed because you still write left-handed whatever you write, but it's not such a common malach anymore. And therefore, by the calculus of the rove based upon the writing plus the holding of the fork and the brushing the teeth is not going to be so ironclad anymore. That was an error somebody made to me in recent years. Yes?
The hand you use your phone,
The hand you use your. What do you mean use it? You hold the phone.
No, the hand.
When you text, don't you use two hands?
Some people do. They're cool keywords and they're also.
You can't text with two hands.
You can't. No, a lot of people
do. I'm a writer. I text my left hand.
Whoa! That's a Shilas. So you see, Rabbosi, how new technology can have an impact on halacha. I remember when this bacha gave the drasha, this is going back a long time ago, I said, you know, since this is I use my dexterity, so I have to now, the right hand, what do I use my right hand for? To hit my younger brother. So he says that, now I have to stop hitting my younger brother because I want to make sure the rov malachas are my left hand. So we're making these kind of jokes, semi-jokes in my mitzvah of the long ago. But it really does, I still stick with the psak. I haven't changed the psak. But it is on less firm ground, it seems to me, that people are usually not writing with a pen anymore than it was all those years ago, and I think it was on much firmer ground. Rabbosai, these things impact upon us. So is a lefty going to be puzzled to be a dayan and a chalitza? I never heard of such a thing. Number one, mikra din, even a balmum mamish is kosher. Number two, not everyone agrees the left-handedness is a mum. It's a 2 days of tosfos, no? But whether a kohen balmum can't avoid that, a lefty can't avoid is a gemara. But why? Some say it's exeris a kosher, some say it's a balmum, some say it's exeris a kosher. Im tim talam it's a balmum, in a mum she begolui. Is it gully? The guy's a lefty? I can't tell the guy's a lefty unless he starts doing things. That's not so gully. I mean, gully means you just look at him. So for all these reasons, if you become a dayan, Shlomo, I will be happy to appoint you to sit on the bezdin of the for chalitza, notwithstanding being a left-handed. Okay? We'll stop here. Mitzvah tomorrow. We'll continue. Let's talk a little bit about Shaduchim tomorrow, the netter. And we need a decision by tomorrow, right?
Yeah, I'm going to talk to you.